Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
I think that the God that called Israel out of slavery in Egypt and created the planet Earth is also the creator of all those other worlds out there. And I think there are good reasons, speculative reasons, for thinking that we've got brothers and sisters on other planets in outer space. I'm a little bit impatient with my fellow theologians who, when they talk about creation, they talk about planet Earth. Planet Earth, as Carl Sagan said, is just a tiny little pale blue dot compared to that great big grand magnificent cosmos that's out there.
That's Dr. Ted Peters, Professor of Systematic Theology at Pacific Lutheran Theological Seminary, on a recent PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly feature on extraterrestrial intelligent life. Well, there's a theologian's idea. He's kind of taking Carl Sagan's perspective rather than the biblical perspective on creation and speculating. And he does say he's only speculating, as he says, that we've got brothers and sisters out there in outer space. Intelligent life out there. And it does seem to be, for some reason, the consensus of at least pop science that despite the lack of evidence for life out there, despite a single fragment of evidence, the consensus seems to have turned toward the inevitable discovery. We're just going to discover it sooner or later somehow that there is intelligent extraterrestrial life. We're going to be talking about that story with Ken Samples on this Tuesday afternoon, May the 3rd. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues Etc. And thanks for tuning us in. A little bit later, we'll spend some time with Pastor Tom Baker teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus raising Lazarus in John chapter 11. You can join us over the course of the next hour with your questions or comments. Our call-in number 1-877-623-MYIE. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, @issuesetc. And our Issues Etc. comment line, open 24/7 for your questions or comments, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Ken Samples is a regular guest. He's senior research scholar for Reasons to Believe, based in Pasadena, California, author of several books, including Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, A Rational Christian Look at UFOs and Extraterrestrials. Ken, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. It's good to be with you.
Why do you think, I don't know about, you know, the serious scientists, whether they're talking about this in scientific journals of astrophysics or astronomy or any of that kind of stuff, but I do know that pop science, the consensus appears to have turned toward the conclusion that there must be intelligent extraterrestrial life. Why is that?
Yeah, very good question. Here is my take on it, Todd. I think in the 1950s and 60s, there was kind of a triumphal scientific naturalism that was being expressed. And I think maybe a very good example of that would be to point to Carl Sagan and his program Cosmos, which was extremely popular on television. You know, he advocated the point that, look, human beings have evolved. Life itself evolved. Human beings descended from an ape-like ancestor. So he buys naturalism, he buys the Darwinian evolution, and he says, therefore, if life is so prevalent here on planet Earth, and there are so many galaxies out there with probably Earth-like planets, the universe should be filled with extraterrestrial life. So it's a purely naturalistic point of view. Todd, what's interesting, however, is that as this idea was debated, there is a book, an interesting book titled Where Is Everybody? And it tells the tale of the scientist Fermi, who he was at the Los Alamos lab talking with some scientists. And over lunch, he just kind of called out this question, where is everybody? That is, there has now been books another book, Rare Earth, that talks about the uniqueness of planet Earth, that it's rare, maybe it is even unique. So I think that it was really kind of a triumphalism, and I think now in the scientific community it's still being debated. But if you take the presuppositions of evolution and naturalism, why not? And yet, now granted, we haven't been able to look very far with our limited technology, but so far it looks like Earth is if not unique, it's rare.
Can you talk a little bit about the other perspective that we heard there from Ted Peters? And he again cited Carl Sagan, talking about Earth as nothing more than a pale blue dot in the vast ocean, of, Peters would say, of creation, Sagan would say, of the cosmos. This notion of not just Earth isn't unique, but Earth is really nothing, a drop in a vast ocean.
Yeah, I think, and that's very, very much kind of accepting kind of Carl Sagan, who was, if not an atheist, he was highly skeptical of any religious truth. You know, that piece started out with the heavens and the earth. The vast majority of conservative biblical commentators would say that Hebrew expression, heavens and earth, means the totality of all things. So the God of the Bible is not merely the God of this solar system or this earth. He is the Lord of the totality of everything that exists. And as we look into Scripture and as we trace the truths of historic Christianity, this world is made specially by God. This is, human beings are not just some other kind of animal, but they're made in the image of God. And now Ted Peters, of course, being somewhat on the more Lutheran liberal side, and I mean that theologically, not politically, he embraces a more theistic evolutionary viewpoint. So I think some of that is expressed by his own theological conclusions. But I don't think we have to say that the earth is somehow insignificant or nothing, to say that this universe seems incredibly large, but everything we know about our Earth and about the world that we live in, it's a pretty special place, both scientifically and certainly theologically.
So can you also address the notion, and I understand the presuppositions of materialistic naturalism that would simply say, you know, life is just basic, highly complicated mechanics, but still born of randomness. It's going to say if it can happen here, it can happen anywhere. That's just probability, given the size of the universe and enough time. But the right. But the notion of that of the this idea of intelligent life, you know, it must be out there. It is out there. Can you explain how that drives this isn't all bad, you know, this discovery, other things get discovered along the way, how that drives the scientific community in their search for this?
Yeah, I think that, Todd, I think a part of it is everybody has to have an eschatology. Everybody has to have an end game. And I think if you accept naturalism, if you accept evolution and very, you know, chemistry, physics, and biology are able to explain life, they're looking for something bigger. They're looking the broader issue. What I think is very interesting and powerful, Todd, however, is that SETI and now METI, both looking for extraterrestrial life or extraterrestrial messaging, both of these groups advocate the idea that if they find knowledge, if they find information, if they find mathematics, that's a sure-tale sign that there's intelligent life. Well, wait a second here. If you're using that standard to be the judge of whether there's intelligent life in outer space, what about all the intelligence that we find in DNA? What about intelligent design for a creator? I think there's an irony here that SETI says information points to an intelligent mind, But a fair part of the scientific community says, no, the intelligence that we find in DNA and we find all around us in human beings in nature, we're not going to take that as a pointer to an intelligent creator. So again, worldview and presuppositions, I think, are very important, and it's important to point them out and call them on it.
Why? What do you think's going on there? Because that really goes to the question of evidence, something that the scientific community values highly, and you're really saying there, Ken, that those who ignore or who they even poo-poo and try to dissuade people from believing intelligent design are ignoring evidence.
Well, you know, I think, Todd, that I think it does come down to a worldview perspective. Now, I think it's important. I work with a number of PhD scientists, and, you know, they've let me know that maybe 40%, there have been studies that 40% of those who were surveyed said they believed in a personal God. And there are some pretty big names out there from at various places who've identified themselves with being theist or being even Christian. And I think it's probably true that in cosmology, there are a lot more Christian theists than in biology, which is dominated by the shadow of Charles Darwin. Having said that, however, I think, Todd, that, you know, from a theological and a biblical point of view, sin has impacted our ability to discover the truth. And so discovering truth in life is deeply shaped by your view of what is the ultimate. And here is the irony, and I often talk about this with my science colleagues here at Reasons to Believe. I say, you know, as a non-scientist, I said, it seems ironic to me that the scientific world, they spend so much money giving people the best education, the best specialization. They want the most cerebral, the brightest, and the best, and they bring them together, and by and large, they accept the worldview that says, all of this incredible intelligence and beauty and rationality came from a non-mind. I just find that to be a powerful irony. And again, SETI says, well, if you know, we'll use math because math is kind of a universal language. Well, what do we discover in DNA? What do we discover about the intelligibility of the human being? So, you know, scientists who are incredibly specialized, by and large, they can make some mistakes when it comes to philosophy and theology, and I think that's why we need really good people going into science to represent that Christian theistic worldview.
Ken Samples is our guest, senior research scholar for Reasons to Believe, based in Pasadena, California, and author of several books, including Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, A Rational Christian Look at UFOs and Extraterrestrials. We're talking about a recent PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly feature on extraterrestrial intelligent life on this Tuesday afternoon, May the 3rd. We'll come back 10 more minutes with Ken. Then we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker on Jesus raising Lazarus in John 11.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Ken Samples is our guest, senior research scholar for Reasons to Believe, based in Pasadena, California. We're talking about a recent PBS Religion and Ethics News Weekly feature on extraterrestrial intelligent life. Ken, I want to ask you a question, kind of come around the other side of the question we were talking about before the break. Speaking of intelligent design, you made the point several times that if we suppose that we look out through a powerful telescope, a radio telescope, or some sort of listening device where we can gather signals from the universe, and we hear something that has a distinctly ordered pattern to it, or that it communicates some kind of a mathematical numerical sequence or something like that, anyone is going to conclude that that signal came from an intelligence. What we could say about that intelligence, we don't know, but it came from an intelligence. And yet we look at the world around us, in particular the biological world, and we see all kinds of order and design and things like that. And those scientists conclude it didn't. How would science suffer if a good old-fashioned, hardworking scientist said, hey, I believe, I don't know who it is or what's going on, but I believe that all of this is a result of an intelligent designer? How would his science suffer?
Yeah, great question. I think the answer to it would probably depend upon what area of science he or she was in. Like I said, I think people can raise questions about things like what caused the Big Bang or what about the fine-tuning in the universe. I think on the other hand, if it were in the area of biology, and one of my colleagues recently said, you know, I could challenge general relativity, but I have to be very careful about touching, you know, evolution, Darwinism. So, you know, I think that it could mean that that person would not be able to write for some of the more prestigious journals, or it may be that people would just look at him and say, well, you know, that's his religious opinion. I have to say, though, Todd, that there is a cosmologist, Paul Davies, who I like a great deal. I was driving in the car one day, and he said he was reading St. Augustine. I almost hit the car in front of me. I thought, what is a cosmologist doing reading St. Augustine? And his point was that he was very intrigued that Augustine's view of time seemed very similar to the way modern physicists think of time. And Davies said that the thing that really struck him, the thing that really challenged his skepticism, was the idea that the universe is intelligible and that humans can use mathematics to track truth in the world. So our minds, through math, matches reality. And immediately I thought, this makes perfect sense in a Christian theistic worldview. God created the universe with logos and nomos, logic and laws. He created us in his image. network the universe together. So, of course, an intelligible universe is going to point very powerfully in a Christian theistic orientation. But I think you have to say, if you're a naturalist and you discover that nature is intelligible in large measure through mathematics and that humans have this capacity to track it, I think the appropriate response is absolute shock. So presuppositions, naturalistic, theistic orientations come at things very differently. And again, I think the way to respond to this, Todd, is not to move away from the incredible enterprise of science, which I think is one of the most powerful enterprises in the world, but to encourage Christian theists to really study nature and to become articulate spokespersons of how much of science corresponds powerfully to theism.
Do you think, just kind of coming back to, and they are related to one another, the search for extraterrestrial life proceeds out with a Darwinistic view of the world. They're going to tell you if it evolved here, it's going to evolve elsewhere. So they kind of have that as their framework. Do you think that that has the ability, that idea of where life comes from here on Earth, and then they would say inevitably everywhere else, do you think that has the ability to stand the test of time, Ken? I mean, it has, as a theory, hasn't been around that long, but it certainly has gained great currency and essentially dominates the conversation. But eventually, do you think the kind of evidence you've been talking about here stacks up too high against it?
Yeah, great point. Todd, I'm reminded that Thomas Aquinas, you know, living in the 13th century, one of the great Catholic thinkers, he thought about the issue, could there be life in outer space? He raised questions about, you know, would Christ need to be incarnate in their world, die for them? So it's not that Christianity has not thought about these ideas and reflected back and forth about them. I would say this to your question, that I think that this kind of robust, this triumphalistic idea that naturalism was going to be able to explain everything, I think it has run into some checks and balances. I mean, again, this book, Rare Earth, another book, Where Is Everybody?, another book on the topic, Alone in the Universe, there are checks and balances to this idea, and of course, there are, you know, the Congress has decided we're not going to fund SETI. I'm not sure you can ever take somebody's eschatology away from them. I mean, you can tell them that if we evolved and there's no God, there's no life after death, there's no objective morality, there's no meaning to life. But you know what, Todd? People need meaning. They crave meaning and purpose and significance. And I think for many naturalists, it's these kinds of questions that, you know, get them back to that question of who am I, why am I here, and how can I explain this incredible existence of life and intelligence.
Is that something we can say to the skeptic, even if he's a scientist, say to him, look, I think I understand what drives your search for these things. I think I understand what's behind it. You are looking for some meaning here. They might deny it at first, but is it a good way to build a bridge with them to say, look, you're looking for some, even if the meaning is only in the next discovery around the corner, you're looking for it.
I think so. I think it's a good tact. I think, Todd, that, you know, when people have decided that there's no supernatural reality, that there's no transcendent God, I think to many scientists, they look at the complexity in the universe and they say, that's enough for me. That mystery, that incredibly beautiful and amazingly rational universe is what I'm going to be consumed by. Now, from a theological and a biblical point of view, even though that's high tech knowledge, it's still idolatry. And I think that we can say, look, You know, science is a very powerful way of knowing, but it can't make you wise, it can't make you happy, and it can't make you good. And so science also has real serious limitations when it comes to the big questions of life.
Ken Samples is a senior research scholar for Reasons to Believe, based in Pasadena, California. He's author of several books, including Lights in the Sky and Little Green Men, A Rational Christian Look at UFOs and Extraterrestrials. You'll find a link to this book and to Reasons to Believe under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Ken, thank you very much for being our guest.
Great to be with you, Todd. Thanks.
When we come back, Pastor Tom Baker is going to join us. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson, as we do often early in the week. We're going to be in John chapter 11, where Jesus raises Lazarus. There are a lot of things to be learned from Jesus' raising of Lazarus, but in the narrative of John, it is the triggering event. It is the event that finally pushes Jesus' opponents to the point of saying, now he really must die. We've been talking about it. We've been thinking about it. Now we need to do it. Why? We'll find out right after this.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Tired of hearing about what you have to do for God? Then come hear what He has done for you. Receive His gifts of life and salvation through the cross of Jesus Christ. If you think big screens belong in movie theaters, then you'll be right at home at Faith Lutheran Church in Beaufort, South Carolina. God's powerful saving word needs no gimmicks, so we simply teach the word of God and administer His sacraments. We plant and water while God gives the growth. Faith Lutheran Church of Beaufort, South Carolina, where the Bible is still the Word of God and where we still speak the historic Christian liturgy. This is your grandfather's church. Come home.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
God lays out for us in Scripture our need for salvation in the law, and the assurance that Jesus has saved us in the gospel.
Dr. Carl Fakencher talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's the way God communicates to us in every page of Scripture, and therefore it's vital that we have been given this gift of history, an understanding of law and gospel, make it a centerpiece in the way we speak law and gospel, the way we speak God's word to people today.
You can meet and hear Dr. Carl Fakencher making the case for law and gospel Friday, June 10th and Saturday, June 11th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.